His palms are sweaty. Knees weak. Arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how everybody's joking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over. Blow. It's a poem by world famous poet Eminem. Can you relate to those feelings? Palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. Can you think of moments where you felt that anxiety, that worry, that stress, that nervous energy in the lead up to something? Because everyone experiences that, right? It might be before a talk you've got to give at school. It might be before an interview. It might be before a date. We get those feelings, those nerves, that sometimes we refer to as butterflies in our stomachs. But actually, butterflies in our stomachs makes it sound quite pleasant. And it's usually not very pleasant to experience these things. We might call it stress, worry, nerves, whatever. We all experience it, and sometimes we can experience it quite intensely. There are physical ways that this can manifest in us. Panic attacks, hot and cold flushes, a racing heart, tightening of the chest, quick breathing, restlessness, feeling tense, wound up, or edgy. Psychological experiences, excessive fear, worry, catastrophizing, or obsessive thinking, or behavioral ones where we avoid situations that could cause us to feel anxious, which can impact on our life. So sometimes what can be normal anxieties can escalate into what is actually an anxiety condition. When our anxious feelings don't go away, when they happen without any particular reason, or when they make it hard for us to cope with daily life, then we're dealing with not just daily anxiety, we're dealing with an anxiety condition. And there are a few different types. Generalized anxiety disorder is when a person feels anxious on most days, worrying about a lot of things over a period of time. It's not just about one moment, one thing, it's constant. Social anxiety is when a person has this intense fear or anxiety about what they will experience in social situations. Being criticized, embarrassed, humiliated, or even just not being in control of them, not knowing what's going to happen. There are specific phobias. I have a few, which I'm not going to tell you, because there are certain young adults that I don't trust at all to be safe with the information. I'm looking at you. There are also panic disorders, when you have a series of panic attacks. And also anxiety is present in other things like obsessive compulsive disorder or post-traumatic stress disorder. Anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. Apparently, one in every three women will have it in their lifetime. One in every five men will have it in their lifetime. In any given 12-month period, about 10% of the population will have it. And for young people, that can be as high as 15% or more. And these numbers are increasing, particularly amongst young people. So think about it for yourself. Do you deal with anxiety? Do you know people who deal with anxiety? Most likely, we either have ourselves or we know of someone. for whom anxiety is a significant part of their experience of life. So tonight what I want us to look at is the question of what does the Bible say about anxiety? What is anxiety from God's perspective? Because like those statistics show and like we all know from our daily experience, anxiety is a big deal. It's important. So let's start with this question. Where does anxiety come from? So if you go to the medical profession, then they identify a number of causes of anxiety. There's family history and genetics, personality factors, an ongoing stressful life situation, chronic physical health conditions, other mental health conditions, often anxiety and depression will go together. Substance use can be used to cope with anxiety, but also contribute to it. But spiritually, we find the Bible describing the condition of humanity in this way, that God created humans good, and by good that means whole. Created them without anxiety, without fear, without worry. Created them to be at peace with themselves, at peace with others, at peace in the world. That's how God created humans. And when he saw us, he said, "This is good." But humans rebelled against God. Humans chose to reject his commands, reject his wisdom, and to seek to take life into their own hands. And because of that rejection of God, humanity became separated from God, experienced brokenness in our bodies, in our minds, in our emotions, and also we experience these fears, these anxieties, these worries, a sense of a loss of control. There's a quote from St. Augustine which says, the language is a bit updated, but it's, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." So a Christian perspective on anxiety says, yes, it has a number of medical contributing factors and causes biologically, situationally, emotionally, mentally. But at the root of anxiety, the source issue of our anxiety in life is because humanity is in a broken relationship with our Creator. And out of that brokenness, we experience all kinds of loss and dysfunction and struggle that God didn't originally intend for us to experience. So then the question that often gets asked as well when it's what do Christians believe about anxiety is this next one. Is it wrong to have anxiety? Should Christians be above it? Should Christians be strong enough so as to not experience anxiety? Because there are some verses in Scripture that say, do not be anxious. Do not worry. And so some people come to the belief that God is actually saying, as a command, do not be anxious. And if you are anxious, then that is some form of sin against him. I'm going to deal with those specific passages a bit later. But for now, I want to make it really clear that it is not wrong, it is not sin to be anxious, to deal with anxiety. In fact, a number of the big heroes of the Bible dealt with anxiety and worry and even depression. I want to read from Psalm 6, where David writes this, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. And in this psalm, David is experiencing the weight of life and the burdens that he's carrying. And he's crying out to God saying, how long do I have to deal with this? How long do I have to deal with the burdens of life? And even in this bit where he says, among the dead, no one praises your name. He's saying, God, if you are behind this, which so often people can think that God is the one who is actually causing their suffering, causing their anxiety. And so David, in his sorrow and anguish, is saying, God, if you are behind this and you're trying to teach me something from this, then you should know that if I'm dead, I can't learn anything. And I feel close to death right now. So God, would you give me relief? Would you restore me? I'm weak. And that weakness is something that we as humans all share. I hope it's not too much of a shock for you to hear that the pastors at this church all deal with anxiety in different forms. The staff do, the leadership do. It's not one of those things on a graph where it's like the more spiritual you are, the less anxiety you will have. Anxiety is part of the human condition. And so you need to know that it's not wrong to be anxious. It's not wrong to be dealing with anxiety in your life. But the next question is, what then should we do about it? When we do deal with anxiety, well, the first, I think, as a follow-on from that second point, is that we should acknowledge it in ourselves without condemnation. One of the worst things that you can do when you're feeling anxious is to feel like you shouldn't feel anxious, because then you'll feel anxious about being anxious. And you get in a cycle where your anxiety actually causes in you a sense of condemnation and guilt and shame, and I shouldn't be feeling this, and I shouldn't let others see this, and I should be stronger than this. And then that just feeds into that sense of anxiety. And so it's okay to acknowledge that we are experiencing that. It doesn't make us less of a Christian. It doesn't make us less spiritual. It just makes us human. But in that anxiety, the Bible time and time and time again invites us to cry out to God for help. Just a couple of verses up there. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That was David again in Psalm 121. And in Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So we should find encouragement in God's word that when we feel weak, when we feel anxiety, when we feel like we can't go on, we can't step out, that we can't function in our moments of brokenness, that we can cry out to the Lord for help. And he's not going to respond by saying, you should be stronger. God is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Even if we feel like no one else will understand us, that no one else is with us in these things, God is. God has promised to be. Also, we should reach out to a friend or to a family member and to seek professional help. If you find yourself in a crisis moment dealing with anxiety, there are mental health helplines that you can call in those moments. A number of them. One specific for youth, that kids, is for ages 5 to 25. Reach out. Make the most of psychologists and counselors and your GPs and psychiatrists. Medication can really help in those moments where we're in crises. Counselors are skilled in helping us identify and develop skills to deal with the things that we are experiencing. Again, it's not unspiritual to meet with a counselor, to seek medication that can help us deal with the things we're facing. Fourth question we might ask is, well, is it possible to find freedom from anxiety? And maybe not just freedom from anxiety, but freedom in anxiety. Listen to these words written by the Apostle Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality that we find in God's word is that God is powerful, that he is able to help us find peace in the midst of our anxiety, that he's able to give us strength in those moments where we are weak, that God is able to transform us by the renewing of our minds, that God is able to make us new, to restore us into a relationship with himself, to deal with that fundamental source issue of our separation from him, to heal what has been broken, to reconcile what has been separated. And God, through his Spirit, can bring us joy and hope and not leave us in despair. And I want, if you are here tonight and you don't know that, if you haven't experienced that, if you haven't experienced the power of God in your life or his peace or his joy or his hope, then I want to quickly let you know how you can do that. And it's about taking two steps. Firstly, to acknowledge that you have disobeyed God and not lived for him. Because the Bible says when we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. That God makes us clean and whole before him. He doesn't count our sins against us, that when God forgives us, he forgives us completely. And then that we might receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus. For it is by grace that we are saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. How awesome is that, especially for someone dealing with anxiety to hear? That the gift of salvation from God isn't something that is earned. It's not something that is worked for. It's not something that is a product of the number of your prayers or the amount of pages of the Bible you read or the good works that you do. Because if it was that, we humans who are prone to anxiety and confusion, we would never consider ourselves good enough. But God says, your salvation, your reconciliation with me, your forgiveness, your freedom, it's a gift of my grace to you. And so enjoy it. Enjoy the freedom of it. And the last question is, well, what do I need to do to live in this freedom? And this is where these verses come in, that often get brought up in the context of anxiety. From Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's important to hear these verses rightly, because sometimes we can hear them as if God is speaking these solely as a command. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. And so if ever we feel anxiety or worry, we feel that we are sinning against God's command. God does command us in a sense to seek Him and to find a peace in Him. But really, we should hear these words as words of comfort to people who worry and to people who are anxious. And so God comes alongside us in our anxieties, in our worry, and says, "My child, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, come to me." It's amazing what I've seen in Min over the last 6 months. And he's been through so much in his life, and he's going through a huge adjustment process. But one of the things that Jillian and I have been so amazed about is how quickly we became his safe people. Particularly Jillian. It's a maternal thing, I think. How quickly for Min, he was able to kind of identify us as his apa and his oma. So that wherever we went, as long as we were there with him, he knew he could be okay. And we see that even when we take him out and he'll run 20 meters away. And you know, if you've seen young kids do this, run 20 meters away, and if they're securely attached and there aren't other issues happening, what will they do? They turn around and look at Dad or look at Mum. And that's God's heart for us. When we're dealing with our worry, when we're dealing with our anxieties, that God says, "Hey, look back at me. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. I'm here." Another thing we've had to teach Min over the last 6 months is he gets so mad if he can't do something. And he wants to do it. And he'll get really frustrated and ask and start screaming. And what do we say to him? Just ask. If you need help, just ask. And so, in one of the most adorable things Min does, before he could say the words, he does this. And so to see this little child look up at his parent and just be like... And again, that's what God invites us to do with him. Just ask. He longs to help us. He longs to be with us in our moments of angst, our moments of trouble. Just ask and the Father will be with you. How do we do that practically? We need to, in our prayers, invite the Spirit of God to come. 2 Timothy says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." We can retrain our thoughts. We can retrain the way that we react in situations, the way that we think of ourselves and our worlds. And again, counselors, psychologists are really helpful in doing that. But that's also why God has given us the Spirit of God, that we would have power, that we would have his love, that we would have self-discipline, that we're not just slaves to the instincts of our minds, but we can be conformed into his way of thinking. If you do deal with anxiety, don't try to walk it alone. Find your people, your friends, your family members, your discipleship group, your church family, the people who will walk alongside you with it. Seek professional help. Seek pastoral help. and build your foundation on the truth of God's word. One of the biggest things anxiety can do is it can distort what you believe to be true. And your perception of threats, your perception of the world. And so in those moments, where are you going to look for truth? What is going to be your firm foundation? What is going to be the anchor, firm and secure, that when you feel in your mind, in your emotions, that you're being tossed to and fro, God says, I can be your anchor. I can be your foundation. I can be your strong tower. Look to me in the truth of my word to hold on to when things get rocky. I know a bunch of people who deal with anxiety, who have verses, particular verses, fighter verses, Paul would say, that they hold on to in those moments where they realize that their thoughts are starting to get away from them, that they have on their walls, that they have as the wallpapers on their phones, that they return to remind themselves of what is true. The truth is that every believer in Christ can live a life of confidence. Every believer can. But it's confidence not in ourselves, it's confidence in God. That's why in Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul can say, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, then he has begun a good work in you, a work in you to restore you to how God intended you to be, where you are whole, where you are at peace, where you're experiencing joy and hope and love. And the Apostle Paul says, I am confident of this, that he, that's God, who has begun this good work in you, will see it through. And then in Hebrews, Paul says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's the confidence that believers in Jesus can live in, even those who are experiencing anxiety. Confidence in God, who he is, in his promises to us, in his power, in his strength, and in his love. If you think about those statistics I mentioned before, 1 in 3 women in their lifetime, 1 in 5 men in their lifetime, 10% in any 12-month period, 15% or more for young people, it means we have a number of people in this room right now who are dealing with anxiety in their life. And I know many of you. I've heard your struggles. I've heard the ways that you have struggled under the weight of this and yet found strength in God. And that's, I think, the confidence that God invites us to. Not a superficial one, not one where you just wake up and you feel like you can do anything, but the confidence to say, in my weakness, in my fear, in my struggle, in my anxieties, in the things that I feel out of control of in my life, I have the confidence to, with determination, hold on to God and seek him and trust him in everything, that his grace will be sufficient for us. I want to invite the band up. We're going to finish our service with a couple of songs that declare the victory of Jesus. And as we do that, I want to invite you, if you are dealing with anxiety right now, to really take the words of these songs and declare them, to believe in the victory of Jesus, to believe that he is a God who can bring light into darkness. If you would like to come forward for prayer, then please do that. We'd love to pray for you in this moment. And if after this service, you just want to talk to someone, you want advice about how to deal with the situation that you're in, then please get in touch. Not only do we have pastors in this church community, we have incredible counselors, psychologists, GPs, people who can help you. There's victory in Jesus. And maybe he'll give you freedom from anxiety, but maybe too, he'll help you to find freedom in your anxiety. What a powerful testimony to the love and the grace of God that is. Why don't we stand and let's worship together?